News Talk Saturday.
Now, I'm seeing all sorts of headlines across the wires about former British Prime Ministers Gordon Brown now coming out and damning Peter Mandelson. We know him, of course, in this part of the world as the former Northern Secretary. Police also yesterday raided some properties that he owns, one in London and one in Wiltshire. So there's a lot going on with him personally, but also the ramifications are huge for possibly the end of the term of office of Keir Starmer, British Prime Minister. We don't know if that's going to happen, but pressure is assailing him on all sides. And joining me now is Enda Brady to talk through. He's a presenter with TRT and host of Roundtable. Good morning to you, Enda.
Good morning, Emmett. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you along. Now, there's a lot to go through here. There's a lot of streams of different parts of this story that we need to get into. But let's start with the person at the top of the apex of British politics, British Prime Minister Keir Starmer. He had a great week the previous week coming off the back of Davos. He was there defending British troops and seemed to extract an apology from Donald Trump in that area. But it's all gone terribly wrong. And it's all about why he appointed Mandelson as the ambassador to Washington. These documents, do you think within these documents about that appointment, there could be the seeds of his final destruction?
Look, I think we're into the last of Keir Starmer's reign one way or the other. Everyone had predicted that he would last until May when the local elections take place here. Labour are, according to the polls, heading for a wipeout in those council elections. You've got a national election in Scotland, a national election in Wales. So all the polling has been really bad for Starmer. But this really could see him gone way before May even. So he's clinging on, and his defence appears to be that Mandelson is a liar. He lied to me. He lied to my face. He lied repeatedly. But a quick kind of internet search, if you'd typed in Epstein and Mandelson, would have revealed that the friendship had remained even after he got out of prison in 2008 for all the sordid and obnoxious crimes he had committed against young girls. So serious question marks against Starmer. And of course, the other strand to all of this now is the police investigation into Mandelson.
And Ed, did you get a sense from Labour MPs that they want Keir Starmer gone, regardless of what the files show? Like, it doesn't really matter. It's a bit of a shadow boxing that they just need the smoking gun, but they want him gone off the premises one way or the other. Or do you think what's actually in the files does actually matter?
I think Starmer's problem has always been that there is a good chunk of the Labour Party that never wanted him in the first place. You know, he came in post Jeremy Corbyn. The unions obviously have a lot of sway with Labour, and Starmer was seen as kind of, you know, not one of them. And he's not a politician. You know, that's been the biggest criticism of his Downing Street operation, is that they just can't do politics. He's formerly a lawyer, a human rights lawyer. He was head of the Crown Prosecution Service here. You know, his criticism has always been that he just doesn't get politics and he can't do it. So there's always been a rump of the Labour Party that were not happy with him, and they wanted someone from the left. Now, what's gone on in the last 72 hours? You've seen the left coalesce around Angela Rayner. Now, she's a significant character. She has ramped up the pressure on the government this week, spoke very confidently in Parliament the other day about what documents will need to be shared and released to the public. So I think internally there are moves against him. He thought he had seen off Andy Burnham the other week, the mayor of Manchester, who wanted to run for Parliament, get back in and challenge for the leadership. And now he is being undone by one decision, which was giving the role of UK ambassador to America to Peter Mandelson last year.
It would be an absolutely extraordinary story, wouldn't it, if you had Prime Minister Angela Rayner within a few weeks? I mean, that would blow people away. I mean, she was out of office, so, you know, she was lost her ministerial position a few weeks ago. She's very much, you know, a very interesting backstory, let's put it that way. It would be an extraordinary, then Andy Burnham standing up in Manchester saying, that job was meant to be mine.
Yes, look, it's entirely possible, but I think we're living hour by hour now watching this. If I had to make a prediction, I think the old phrase, deputy heads will roll. I would be quite concerned if I was Morgan McSweeney of Yall, or sorry, Macroom in County Cork right now. He is Starmer's chief of staff, and he is the man who is very much seen as being close to Mandelson, a protege of Mandelson, and someone who would have, you know, been asked his opinion of Mandelson before Starmer made the final decision. From what I hear, Starmer doesn't even like Mandelson. They're not friends. They weren't that close. But he felt that that the Brits really needed a big personality in the room to go into America, work with the Trump administration, and not be overawed by big political beasts like Trump and Vance.
Yeah, I suppose Liz Truss tried that two-step before, where she got rid of Kwasi Kwarteng. It didn't save her. So in the case of Morgan McSweeney, as you said, with his Cork lineage, do you really think, even if he's thrown overboard, that that's going to sate these Labour MPs?
Well, I think Starmer can't get rid of McSweeney. That's my suspicion, because if McSweeney goes, then Starmer has to go, because the two are, it's a project. The two of them are inextricably linked. But all the people inside Labour, you know, they the diehard left of the Labour Party, they do not like Starmer. McSweeney, they're not trusting of him because they see him as being this kind of outsider. And he is, I mean, you know, an Irish guy from Macroom basically running the UK government. That's what they've had for 18 months now. So they're quite distrustful of that relationship between Starmer and McSweeney and the way that they've taken the Labour Party. But whatever anyone says about Starmer and McSweeney, they won that last election by a landslide. They turned Labour around. They were never going to win an election under Jeremy Corbyn's leadership. So they came in, they stamped on all that kind of really left-wing stuff that Corbyn was responsible for, and they offered the British public a choice that here is a Labour Party you can trust that will deliver for you and is electable. And McSweeney and Starmer won that together.
Now, the problem they've got, as you've mentioned earlier, they've got an election in May. So, yes, they can jettison Starmer before that and trying to go into that election in better condition and in better sort of a form, or they can just let the inevitable happen. You know, unless you're absolutely defying the polls, this is going to be a bad election for them, and then use that election as the reason, the trigger event to get rid of them. It sort of seems like there's no good outcome either way of that. It's going to, do you want to be shot at dawn or do you want to be shot later this evening? Like, it's not great outcome for those Labour MPs, either of those choices.
Yeah, and the polling is terrible. I mean, Labour are consistently 9 and 10 percentage points behind Reform UK of Nigel Farage, who only have 8 MPs. So, you know, it's not a fully formed political party even. And Reform are trouncing Labour, trouncing the Conservatives. And it's a really fascinating kind of time again. But, you know, Starmer's people seem to be saying to the British public, you know, be very careful what you wish for. You don't want to be chopping and changing Prime Minister every few months like the chaos of the Conservatives with, you know, Sunak and Johnson and the glorious 43-day rule of Liz Truss, God help her. It's a strange place right now, but I think Starmer has two choices. He what he did last week was he came out and apologised and said, had I known then what I know now, I would never have had Mandelson in the room. I think he's got two choices. Either he goes of his own volition on Monday, having reflected on it over the weekend, or he fights on and he starts throwing people under the bus and really doing politics, which, again, as I've said before, his critics say Starmer is not a politician. He needs to be absolutely ruthless from now on.
Well, that's an interesting call that you're making there, that you think it could be of that acute and urgent nature that he could go within days. I mean, you believe it's reached that stage?
I think it has. I think it has, because when you look at the volume of material, and you know, for everyone who thinks we've heard the end of the Epstein scandal, there is far worse coming for a lot of people. And if you look at the tranche of documents and how underfunded news organisations are, 3 million files were released last Friday. We have not got anywhere near, I would say, halfway. You know, all the media organizations that I speak to, colleagues, ex-colleagues, friends, you know, people are saying to me, we've got a team working on this. And you say, well, how many's on your team? Oh, there's three of us. This is going to take a long, long time. So I think it may well get worse for a lot of people. But right now in the UK, the focus away from Starmer, the focus is on Peter Mandelson and this police investigation.
Let me just indulge my nerddom here for a second. I want to talk a little bit about what the elections might look like and where Reform are and all of that. I mean, it seems to me, if you look at the polls in Britain, Reform do best in the north of England, in a lot of those coastal towns, that there's a big Brexiteer view there. So they've got a strong base there. And unless the Labour Party will be absolutely, you know, eviscerated in these areas, unless they find a way to kind of collaborate in some pact or some understanding with the other parties, whether that's the Greens, the Lib Dems in the south of England. So, I mean, I don't know, maybe I've got this completely wrong, but unless the Labour Party in some way collaborate with the other non-reform parties, they're facing into a grim few years. Do you agree with that analysis?
I think you're very smart in your analysis that Labour need to be making friends with the Green Party and certainly doing deals with the Liberal Democrats. However, on the right wing of British politics, I think the real problem for both the Conservatives and Reform is that they're going to take votes off each other. People will vote for Reform, people will vote for the Conservatives. And the kind of people who vote for Conservatives, they're never going to look at the Green Party, they're never going to look at Labour. It's just a family thing, it's dyed in the wool. You know, so I think the right is in danger of splintering. So as much as Starmer needs to make friends with the Greens and the Lib Dems, I think the Conservatives and Reform need to come to some sort of an agreement, whether they don't stand in certain constituencies. You know, but again, I go back to Reform and Farage. He's got 8 MPs, and a few of them are people who've actually jumped ship from the Conservatives. So, you know, from as much as he's leading in the polls, is this a fully formed political party with a vetting department, a comms department, political researchers everywhere? You know, all these other parties, Labour have been around a century plus. You know, they know how to win elections. Reform is another reiteration of Nigel Farage. You know, it's got to the stage where I can't believe it's not the Brexit party, whatever he called himself previously, UKIP. You know, it just keeps happening that suddenly now he's got a lot of traction.
Also, I think for our listeners' benefit, the idea of Angela Rayner being Prime Minister is fascinating on so many fronts. We'd have to devote a whole programme or podcast to it.
Yes.
But the idea that she could be quite a populist, she definitely has a strong profile in the north of England, which is a big part of the seats in the House of Commons, about 25% or so. So she, in some ways, she could be seen as the worst nightmare Farage could be facing, because she's so different from anyone he's faced before. But equally, she's got a very coloured and storied background. She has had to resign recently. She's Marmite. The British right-wing press really do not like this woman at all. And maybe that's a good or a bad thing, but it's actually quite hard to analyse if she was to become Prime Minister, how that would affect all the things we're talking about, because she's so not off the usual taxi rank that you get in British politics.
Oh, she's completely a one-off. And, you know, she has her critics. Look, you've got to understand, Angela Rayner from the north of England, she was a mother at 16, and she has come from a really humble working class background in the northwest of England to deputy prime minister at one stage. She wants the big job. She may well become prime minister. Now, she will do very, very well in the north of England in Labour leaning areas. For my money, I think she's an extraordinary success story of someone who has worked very, very hard and is doing great things in her constituency, and has bounced back from being sacked not that long ago. There was a property purchase down in Hove on the south coast, just outside Brighton. Serious question marks about whether the correct amount of tax was paid on the transaction. And she was involved with various different housing projects in government. So she had to go, and now she's come back. But I think she will have the union support. She will have the left wing of the Labour Party around her. But crucially, if you're looking ahead to an election in what it'll be 2029 now, the next UK election, unless something seismic happens in the next few weeks, you know, is she going to get your middle class voters in the south and southwest of England to vote for her? You know, history would tell you probably not.
Yeah, I suppose Wes Streeting, the health secretary, another possible option there. What do you think his chances would be?
Zero, because from what I've heard inside the... honestly, Emmett, so basically he's seen as a Blairite. He is seen as very close to Mandelson. There is whispers around Westminster that if messages are released about Mandelson's appointment or Mandelson's friendships in Labour politics, Streeting will be drawn into that and it won't look good. And he's very much seen as from the right of the Labour Party, and the unions don't like that. So he's done a good job as health secretary, which has always been viewed as a bit of a poison chalice here. But I think right now, if it were a straight choice between Angela Rayner and Streeting, she will have him on the floor in 10 seconds.
Yeah, British politics, I mean, it used to be, you know, stable when Irish politics was in chaos back in the 1980s when you had Thatcher, and then you looked over here with Gareth Fitzgerald and Charlie Haughey. We're going back a while here, right? But now it's become, like, as you say, a lot of people are committed to reform, but will it hold? A lot of it's sort of like a plague on all their houses type voting that might not be very solid when it comes close to the election. The Tories don't know where they're going. They're borrowing a lot of reforms clothes, but they still want to slightly sail into the middle ground. And then you have, as you've just pointed out, on the left side, you've got the Greens rising very fast. I mean, their support among younger demographic is just massive. And then you've got the Liberal Democrats in the sort of leafier parts of southern England doing their thing. I mean, it's a very mixed sort of murky picture that it's very hard to see what, you know, a kind of a concrete result coming out of all of this.
Yeah, it's changed massively. And you're right, because, you know, you go back to the 80s and a little chunk of the 90s, and it was a two horse race. It was two parties, Labour and the Conservatives. It was one or the other. You had the Thatcher decade, and then Major came along for a few years, and then you had the Blair decade. Post-Brexit, everything has changed. And I think what we're seeing really now is a splintering of the electorate. And remember, only about 40% of people actually vote here. So you'll hear all these people with their opinions in pubs and coffee shops. And I get people coming up to me in the street with their opinions. But do they vote? Probably not. You know, the majority of people don't even go down to the polling station on election day, but they then complain about everything that happens in the wash-up. So I think we're in for a fascinating time, but you're right, there is a big splintering of UK politics, and really someone needs to just grasp the nettle in the room, which is Brexit, because as much as every prime minister talks about growth and trying to get the British economy moving again, nothing good can happen in this place until they start embracing Europe again.
Yeah, and we'll have a big question. Will we still be calling Keir Starmer Prime Minister by next Friday evening? There's a bet to kind of, we won't take a bet, but something to watch in the calendar for the moment. Enda Brady, thank you very much. He's a presenter with TRT and also host of Roundtable.
News Talk Saturday.